she is. Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. I said he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is. On time, God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. I said he's an on time God. Yes, he is.
You can ask the children of Israel,
glory,
trapped at the Red Sea by that mean old Pharaoh,
oh, yes,
and his army.
Oh.
They had water all around them, Pharaoh on their tracks. Out of nowhere, God stepped in, oh, cut a highway just like that.
I said
he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
I know he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. The 5,000,
oh, yes,
hungry souls he fed,
glory,
on the banks of the river.
Thank you, Lord.
With two fish and five loaves of bread.
Yes, Lord.
What a miracle he performed for the multitude. Oh, what he did,
oh,
way back then, he'll do today.
Say yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Amen. The song says he may not come when you want him to, but if we'll keep asking, we'll be like that guy that just kept on knocking at the door. Not because I like you, not because I owe you anything, because you're aggravating me to death, I'm going to get up and give you what you have need of. I believe he loves us. I believe he wants us to ask, because he's got all of it stored up just to give it to us. Let me read you a testimony tonight. He's an on-time God to Sister Barbara Gravely. Listen to this. Sister Barbara Gravely called to give another wonderful testimony of what God had done for her. The second CT scan showed only 44% blockage on her left side and only 40% on her right side. Her family doctor admitted that Almighty God had touched her and no surgery was necessary. She wants to thank everyone once again for praying and for God's healing touch. Brother Bird is doing better and they're desirous to be back in the house of the Lord. Please pray that God will make a way for them to return to their post of duty. And they called just a little while ago the house, and by God's grace, they're going to be here in service on Wednesday night. And you talk about two excited people to be able to come to the house of the Lord. Oh, isn't God good? Isn't God good? And I'm going to give a testimony of praise about old brother Louis Blevins tonight. I've suffered for about 3 weeks with a very bad case of sciatic nerve damage. I don't know what was going on. I've been to a chiropractor. I went to a medical doctor. I've took all kinds of medicine. And I believe God, I had a lot of people praying for me. I know medicine is good. I heard Brother Branham, I was just kind of in a place. I said, Lord, just help me some way. Give me something to just help me a little bit. And Brother Branham came on a tape and he started talking. And in that just first few minutes, he said, medicine is of God. He said, medicine don't heal you. But he said, medicine is of the Lord. Only God can heal. And I stand here tonight, I am almost 100% better, and I want to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, he's an on-time God. When it looks like he's not going to answer your prayer, just keep praying. Just keep believing. Just keep doing what you know how to do. He's an on-time. You better sing that second verse one more time. Somebody needs to hear it real bad. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, let's give him a good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight.
You can ask the 5,000.
Oh, yes.
Hungry souls he fed.
Glory.
On the banks of the river.
Whoa.
With two fish and five loaves of bread. What a miracle he performed for the multitude.
Hallelujah.
And what he did way back then, he'll do the same for me.
Oh,
and you.
I know he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there.
Right on time. He's an on-time God.
I said he's an on-time God.
Say praise the Lord. Look at little brother Charlie standing here, a testimony of God's grace. Testimony, 94 year old right now. Is that right, brother Charlie? Testimony of the grace of God. He's just like that rabbit. He just keeps on a running. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we just got so many wonderful things to thank God for. So much to be thankful for. You know, we're here in Satan's Eden, and Satan just loves to get us down, get us sick, get us weary, get us aggravated, get us frustrated, get us doubting, get us doing all kinds of things. But you know what? I've got a seat at the banquet table in glory. It's got my name on the back of the seat. You have too. Brother Donnie preached here last night. If God made up his mind to do it, it's done. It's done. God puts you there, you're there. How many of you are going to be there? How many of you, by his grace, ain't nothing going to stop you? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The plan of God will be carried out, Brother Terry. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer requests. We have just a few. I'll ask you just to remain standing tonight. Brother Gary, Sister Lona have an urgent, unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that. Sister Jen Hall wants to thank the church for their prayers. She is out of the hospital feeling much better, and she appreciates your prayers so much. So we thank the Lord for that. I want to remember the Kennedy family in prayer. The memorial service for Sister Linda was today. So let's continue to remember that family in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Sister Rachel Eastep asked for prayer. Weak in body, needs a healing touch. Let's pray for her tonight. Please remember the family of the 88-year-old lady that passed away this past week in Carter County that was assaulted and robbed. Many of you saw that in the paper and heard it on the news, different things. So let's pray for that family tonight, that God would comfort their hearts. I want to pray for Sister Baker. Her right knee is causing her a lot of pain, so we want to just commit her to the Lord and ask God to be with her. I want to welcome some folks tonight to the service. Sister Joanna Tessa says that we would like to welcome her daughter, Joanna Price, and her granddaughter, Destiny, from Florida. They're here in the service tonight, right here. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about tonight. How many of you know that God's able? Amen. Brother Rob, come tonight. Take us to the Lord on behalf of all these needs. We just praise God tonight, don't we, church? Amen. God bless you, buddy. Brother, appreciate you.
Bless you all. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Once again, we come before you in prayer. We have thanksgiving in our hearts as we come forward looking to see what you have on that banquet table for us tonight. Thank you for the prayer requests that have been voiced. Lord, thank you for the testimonies that went out first. Lord, we recognize that there is nothing that can keep you from your heart's desire. Help us to recognize that we are that heart's desire for you, as you are for us. I pray, Lord God, and I thank you for the testimonies that are coming, the ones that you've already fulfilled, and I thank you for the grace, Lord, that surrounds our hearts and keeps us longing towards the day that we see you face to face. We ask, Lord, for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. We've sung it a lot, but it's still just as good tonight as it was the first time we sung it and heard it. I bless your name. I can't think of a greater thing to do tonight than to bless the name of the Lord. Brother Jerry Phillips, God bless you back in the house of the Lord tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Prayer was offered for Brother Jerry here on Wednesday night by the pastor and the church and began to pray. And, well, God is just good to his church. Do you love him with all your heart? Why don't you take just a second, shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you, great soldier of the cross. God bless you, great soldier of the cross. Play a little bit of it, boys, while we get ready to sing. Say it. You're the praise team of Happy Valley. The praise team.
The prisoner's chains with the leading stride. All inside,
thank you, Lord.
That night, and in the pain, began to sing. Their chains were loose.
Oh, yes, they were.
And
believe it.
If you should find.
Tonight, they come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Let's sing this. I already feel the presence of the Holy Ghost here among us tonight. We're fixing a house of church. And nothing better than the good word of God, are they? Nothing better than the good word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Hallelujah. 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 Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you. You can be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much for your participation tonight. Always better when you sing. Always better when you sing. Praise the Lord.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why.
Because
my sins are gone.
My sins are gone.
And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone.
My sins are gone.
They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
enjoy that. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's real good. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. It's time to go on into the service. Brother Donnie's going to come and bring us the word of the Lord. We want to pray for our brother. God will give him strength in his body just to use him in any way he sees fit. And may God just help us tonight to apply the word of God to our life. Brother Joel's going to lead us in the song that he sings better than anybody. We're going up yonder. We're going over yonder. We're leaving anyway, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Glory. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight.
If you want to know where I'm going, someday, so soon. If anybody asks you, there's some nosy people out there, where we're going. To be with my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. How many's going? No question? Settle forever. Praise the Lord. No matter what you go through, what happens in life, we're going. Praise be to God. I don't see any reason why we can't have church tonight then. My goodness, we're here to have church, and y'all don't know where you're going and where your destiny is. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Amen. Ain't God good to us? Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. You ain't got nothing from Big Lots. Dollar General? No. Yours is all prime stuff. Chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Her response now to all those complimentary things. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into and eat his pleasant fruits. How many like to be remembered tonight as we pray? I would as well. Let's bow our heads together. Hold your request in your heart. Lord Jesus, what an honor it is to be able to bow our heads. We bow them in humility. We bow them to the physical place that we came from. And if time tarries long enough, the place we will return. But we're so glad there's another part of us that did not come from dust. It came from eternity. But Lord, while we are here in these mortal bodies, we feel the need, the necessity, dear God, to come together, to hear your word, to sing, to worship, to pray. To us, church is not an option. We have to have it or we die. It's not like power windows and power door locks on a vehicle. You can make them without them. You can crank them down and pull them with your fingers. But church is not so with us, Lord. Praying, reading your word, hearing the preaching of the word. We absolutely have to have it, Lord. And because our need is so great, is why you supply it in such a great way. And we thank you for that. I pray that you'd help us tonight, Father. Help me to be able to get out of the way, Lord, as I endeavor to move myself aside. May the Spirit of God anoint the gift, that part of yourself that you place within me, Lord. Help me, Father. Help the people that they can be able to receive as well. That we can be able to hear things tonight, Lord, that will benefit our walk with you. For truly we believe that we are in this great wedding night. Speak to us tonight, Father. We'll forever give you the praise and share it with no man. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. How many is happy?
Amen.
Happy to be a Christian?
Amen.
What an honor it is to be able to serve the Lord in this hour and to be identified with Him. My mind goes back to this setting tonight, so much different than ours. Him and her alone in the room, and there was no trouble, there was no heartaches, no anxiety, no sin. I'm not saying there wasn't nervousness and maybe jittery and all that sort of thing on her part, for the great king is fixing to take her as his own possession. So much different than us and our wedding night, which is truly where we are. Many of us have been here for quite some time. We've been married to the Lord Jesus, and this night has been prolonged. For some, it's decades. For some of you, maybe 5, 10, 15 years. For some of you, it's 20, 30, 40, that you've actually been in this night with the King. You have been able, by the Spirit of God, to shut the outside world from your soul. You've been able, by the power of transformation, to move into a sphere, into the realm of eternity, where mortality has broke from your soul, and you've truly been born again by the breath of Jehovah. But yet, because you are a creature of time, you're still held captive by these elements that's in your body, which have not yet been saved. In your soul, you soar in heavenly places. In your body, in your spirit, you battle, you deal with sickness and disease and trouble and heartache day in and day out. Get one thing resolved and three more things takes its place. You get that taken care of and something else comes against you. So your wedding night, the setting of it is somewhat different than hers. When she went into this beautiful place, which had been renovated for this specific cause and purpose, nothing was quite like it, no doubt, that she had ever seen. She moved into this place to be able to receive the very life of the King himself. He had used this room many times, no doubt, but it had been renovated or transformed to be able to meet her and his particular need. And that was a bridal chamber. Unlike what we go through today, the servants were on the outside. The people who was making revelry and whatever more, they were without the palace. Inside this room, it was her and him alone. Truly, it can be reflected in a mirror image of how we are in our soul. But in the natural realm, it is so much different, friends. The world about us, constantly with an onslaught of trying to mold us, shape us, and conform us into their image. We are living in a world that constantly is being changed. Many of us at 40, 50, 60 years old, even some younger than that, you have seen so many changes in this world that we are living in the political way, in the social way, in so many ways the world is being changed. And many, I'm afraid, feel like that they are not pulled toward the world because they dress different from the world. And that's a set value with many of us. Many of you do not dress in the fashions of the world or ungodly things, and you feel like you're free from the conforming of the world. And when you get to that place, you're in a very dangerous situation. Because Satan simply changes his way by which he wants to conform us and pull us into the imagery or our behavior or things which will resemble the world. But yet a person can resemble the world in their mannerism, in their habit, and certain other things that they do, and yet on the outward appearance look nothing like the world at all. They don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't go to worldly places, but yet their mannerisms, their behavior, and much of what is around them is being changed day by day. Now, let us look back at this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul says, "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth." Now, here he's talking about, of course, the law which was given to the children of Israel, and the glory was so great that it shined upon the face of Moses and so much that they had to put a veil over Moses' face because of the glory. It was a shared glory as the moon shares the glory of the sun. Now we know the moon actually has no glory of her own, but it is a reflected glory which is borrowed from the sun itself. And when the moon turns around, of course, and reveals itself in four stages, it is because that the darkness of the earth or the shadow of the earth is hitting on the moon in a certain way, and it produces first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then it moves around to where it is a full moon again. Simply because it is a borrowed light. If she had her own light, then the shadow of the earth would not be able to reflect it in the way that it does. So Moses, when he comes down from the mountain, it is a borrowed light from the glory of God. And Paul talks about how great that glory was, but he said the glory that was to come, which is the glory of the gospel, exceeds that glory because it excelleth that glory. And the church said, now we know that the gospel as well is revealed in glory stages, in so much that it was revealed in the book of Acts initially, and the Spirit of God fell upon the original church. God could share his glory in that it was the first fruits of the resurrection, or the wave sheaf that come 50 days after his own resurrection. And Jesus being the first fruits of the humanity that was raised from the dead. But whenever God now knew that it would not last in that stage, it would go down through the dark ages of the church ages and die and be raised again. So it has been exceeding in glory from Luther, from Wesley to Pentecost, up to where we are tonight. We believe we're in the final phase, do we not? Now, that glory of Luther would have no glory by reason of the glory which excelleth. So if you would compare a flashlight to a new LED light, well, there's hardly no comparison at all. If you compare most of the bulbs that you and I were raised with, the CFLs in our light, or the incandescent light bulbs that you and I had in our light, if it was a 100-watt bulb, then it burned 100 watts. But now 100 watt in an LED equivalent will burn about 17, 18, something like that. So you're burning 17, 18 watts, but because it is a total new design by the LED, it is much more efficient, and you get a brighter light, and actually you get more life, because when it turns on, it does not put the surge to it the way that the incandescent bulb did. So that light, now is it a light? It is. Eventually, of course, incandescent will be out, phased out. Nobody will even want them anymore because they blow easier. They're much easier to be able to, the filament to break on the inside. It's the same way with Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Was it a light in that day? It was. But it was like a very dim incandescent compared to a light, bright, illuminating LED light in this day. Praise the Lord. Now, and we're like the little Energizer bunny. We just keep on running and we never run down. So it's not like that we got to have revival come through and this man comes in and brings a revival. We have revival within ourselves. Now, we need stirred up, of course. We know that. But there's a power of this life that's on the inside. That is the glory that excels even that of Pentecost. I remember the days of Pentecost whenever you had to get an evangelist to come around and get the people all fired up again. It lasts for a few weeks or months or maybe 6 weeks, and then you'd have to get another and come in and fire them all up. Some folks around the message are still that way today. But if you ever get the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have living wells of water inside of you. That's what he said about the Shulamite. That's the real bride. Now, notice this in verse 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. In verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now, he's talking about the children of Israel. Whenever they read Moses or the law, whenever they do read that, the veil which was symbolic on Moses' face is now transferred upon the hearts of the Jews. So they now are bearing the image of the veil. So it was veiled to them, and now it's veiled again. But what if God reversed that in that he unveiled the veil in Christ, and then those who now look upon him, they are not looking upon him in the veil sense, but they also are unveiled as well. Now, because Moses was veiled, those who read it now are veiled. Because Christ was unveiled, those that become his seed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they have become quickened, then they also are unveiled.
unveiled as well. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now notice in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Boy, have I quoted this for years and years in Pentecost, and I always use that, and as I heard many preachers use it the same way, in the way of shouting. So where the Lord is, there is liberty. So we've come together tonight, and we're going to beat the drums and clap our hands and bang the tambourines and beat the piano and break the strings on the guitar, and we're going to shout, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when you look at it in reality, he's not even talking about shouting. He's talking about us being born again and being able for the veil to be removed from our heart. Now, do we believe in shouting? Certainly we do. Now watch, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's not just so much liberty in the service, it's you bringing your liberty in the service, and the Lord is in you, and you are free, then we should be able to have a free service right here tonight. That's right. But notice now, Paul goes into another phase of this, and he said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. But we all with an open face. Now, our face is not veiled, but with an open face, we are beholding the glory of the Lord. Look at this word, the meaning of this word, beholding. It is as in, oh my, as in a glass, Paul said, and it is to show in a mirror. To make, to reflect, to mirror, to look at oneself in a mirror, to behold oneself in a mirror. Now he said, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. Oh my goodness, beholding oneself in a mirror, but yet Paul said, beholding the glory of the Lord. How are we going to behold ourselves in the mirror when Paul said what we're looking at is the glory of the Lord? Because it's not you so much, it's not me so much, it's the reflected glory after the new birth. Now notice, this is in order that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Then God frees us from the tradition, oh well, I'm no good, I'm sorry, I'm rotten, I'm no count. No, we were that, but by the grace of God, we are beholding our renewed self in the mirror by which the glory of God shines upon our face. Now notice he said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now we're looking at ourselves, but we're actually seeing the glory of the Lord. Now look, if you've got something in your heart, something in your life that's not right with God, and the Word brings that to your attention, fix that thing. Get it straightened up and taken care of, so when you behold yourself and the Spirit of God in you liberates you from tradition, then you behold yourself in the mirror of the Word, that you're actually going to look beyond your humanity, your shortcomings, your faults, your failures, and you're going to see the glory of the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit of God has transformed you and changed you. If all you're seeing is yourself over and over and over again, you need to move up, friends. Your experience needs to be renewed with God. Now, notice he said, so we are beholding in a glass. Now, this is not a water glass, of course, but it was a looking glass, which at this time would have been a piece of metal, burnished metal. As in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that which dwells in us, it not only frees us from sin and liberates us from the things of the world, it actually leads us to the power of transformation. Now, even though we're in a great time as far as darkness in the world, but you and I both know that the greatest time for light to shine is in a time of darkness. You don't really need the light to shine when it's broad daylight, do you? So in this time of darkness is when the brightest light that's ever been on the earth, the bright light and the bright time, is really going to shine out. Now what's this? The Weymouth translation says it this way. We mirror the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces. We looking as in a mirror catch the light and reflect the glory of the Lord. Now, this is a spiritual process, of course. It is a spiritual nature alone which is capable of being able to catch that light. Now, think of it this way, that there are many, many pieces of space junk and meteors and all kinds of things that's flying around out here near the earth, but the moon is the one by which God chose to reflect the special light of the sun. Now, why not Mars? Why not Neptune? Why not Jupiter? We know from the construction of the planets, of course, according to how much metallurgical things is in the content of the planet, that's how much illumination ability that it has. The more iron ore, the more certain metals that are there, and it is the construction by the creative power of God that he put it inside of those, and the moon is made just right, so she's got enough metallurgical things on the inside that she can be able to hit it. Now, what if the light of the sun would hit that handkerchief right there? It would not reflect anything at all. It's going to go right there and not bounce back. So the moon is so designed by the creative power of God that the moon, the light would be able to shine upon the moon and it would be able to what? Bounce it back off of it. But what is there? You've seen pictures of it as well as I have, and it looks like great craters and dust and all that. It's not shiny, it's not illuminating, but it is a bar of light. But it's made so that when the light of the sun is able to hit it, it bends it and it comes right back. What causes it to bend? It's a metallurgical makeup that's on the inside of the moon that God gave it those attributes. Amen. When he made it in the beginning. So he made her that way. It's the same with you and I. What makes us different than the rest of the world? What makes us different now than what we were years ago? It's the spiritual metallurgical makeup of our soul that catches the word of God. And when the sunlight of God shines upon it, it bends and comes right back. Other people hear it, they make fun of it, they laugh at it. Many are hanging around it for years and years and they go away. But why don't you do it? Because it's your spiritual metallurgical makeup that God put it in you. Oh, hallelujah. You are held to it by gravitation, by the Spirit of God. Think of it tonight, friends. I dealt with this up in Lima last week. God, I've said it here before, but let me say it again. That when you look at the globe of the earth itself, how it hangs out on the universe, and you can see why. That for many, many years ago, they thought that the earth was flat. Because how in the world would people be able to live on it if it was any other dimension other than being flat itself? But looking at a globe, as you and I have done, and you say, here we are hanging on the side, and you look at the equator, and you've got people down around the middle of the globe of the earth, and according to where they're standing, they're actually standing on the side of this ball like this. So they're standing there like this, and they get rain, and rain clouds come over them, and the rain don't go this way, the rain goes in this way. Now you look at the bottom of the earth, the Antarctica, how is it that that water and that ice and all that ocean don't fall off the bottom? How is it that whenever these people go down there and do all these expeditions on the bottom of the globe, come on, they go on the very bottom of the globe, how is it that their ships don't fall off? How is it that the ocean hangs on the very bottom? You try to do that on a baseball when you go home after church. You try to take anything you want to and stick it on the bottom of a baseball or give the baseball a bath and you watch what the water will do. The water will automatically drip off the bottom, will it not? Why? Because the baseball is not magnetized by gravitation in order to hold it. So people can be on the bottom of the earth and they're standing upright. This is upright down there. And all the animals are down there roaming around, the polar bears and the penguins and whatever more. And the clouds, when wintertime and all that comes, the clouds will come in under the bottom side and drop snow uppers. You think we ain't got a mighty God? You think we ain't got a mighty God? And you got problems that's too big for him to take care of? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the moon has this nature, if I can say it that way, to where she has the capability of catching the rays of the sun, bending it back, and throwing it back toward the earth. Now it's the same way then with the spiritual nature of those who are truly born again. They have the ability to look into the mirror of the word, and the rays actually bend off of the mirror and flashes back into their face. So they're capable then of giving forth what they are hearing and what they are living. Notice this, Paul says, but we always open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. I love this word. Changed, metamorpho, which is transfigured, transformed, to change into another form. Changed into another form, transformed, transfigured. Christ's appearance was changed with a resplendent with divine brightness on the Mount of Transfiguration. And yet Paul says that we are also are changed as we look into the glory of the Lord. Don't you understand why it's so important what you look into? Believe it or not, we're not the only ones being changed. Other folks are being changed in this world by what they look at. By what they look at. Come on now. Marriage, traditional marriage, is being eroded around the world. Why? Because people are looking at two men or two women, and now by looking at that and raising kids under that, they are being changed in their mind that traditional marriage is no longer traditional marriage. Come on now, church, don't get quiet on me. They are looking at so many things on television and movies and books and so on, and it is slowly changing their thinking. It is changing them. They are conforming to the world, but we're not conforming, we are transformed. Amen. We are not being conformed to this world, but we are being transformed. Amen. Also, may I say, can't you see why Satan would want you to put your eyes upon a preacher or upon some man? And oh my, he's so great, and he's this, and he's that, and the other. That's all you think about. That's all you talk about. Oh, he's the greatest gifted man. Don't do that, friend, to nobody. Thank God for the gifts that are among us, but there's only one great one among us, and that's Jesus. That's right. Because if we're not careful, the more we look at that individual, we will begin to conform to them. And we'll become what they want, what they like, what they are. We give credit to the servants of God and we thank God for them. But we want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Not some preacher, because all men will fail you. Now, the illusion is, you and I, it's hard for us to understand, because if we could pick up a mirror or we walk into the bathroom, we look in our automobile, there's a rearview mirror, mirrors on the side. It's quite different of what we look at today than what they would have looked at then. But it is a mirror that was made out of a piece of brass or a burnished piece of metal. Now, when they would take this metal and they would polish it and polish it and polish it. So if you're standing there looking at this piece of metal and light is thrown on this piece of metal that you have in your hand, unlike the mirror today, which is made with a backing to reduce the amount of glare and the amount that hits you back in the face, according to the amount of light that was hitting this piece of metal, it's going to come and hit that metal and it's going to bounce right back on you. Oh, glory. The mirror today, of course, will not do that unless it's just direct light at a certain angle and you're standing at the right angle to be able to receive it. But then the light that would have hit that metal, because the metal had properties that the glass mirror does not have today, in that it would bend the light and cause the light to come right back out. So if you were standing there with a piece of burnished metal in your hand and you were looking in that mirror and the light was super, super bright, as you was looking on that, what happened was people standing around you would see that light hitting the mirror, and they would see the light being bent, and they'd watch that light come right back on your face. So you were becoming the very mirrored image of the light that was in. Well, that's what the gospel is. That's what Paul is saying, that we are changed into the image of the Son of God. So as we hold the mirror of the Word and we let Him wash us and cleanse us and sanctify us and purify us from the things of the world and the unbelief of the world, the more that happens, the more that light shines upon our face. Unlike Moses, who had to put a veil upon his face, God wants the glory to shine out of our lives. God wants every man, woman, boy, girl, every teenager, whatever more, to be a light of the gospel that people can look at you and say, that is a Christian. Oh my. Now, imagine then as a person holds this mirror in their hand and the light is coming from behind them. We'll say like this, which would be the strength of the light. And as they're looking inside of this, and it is so bright they can barely see themselves. But they're looking through that to see themselves. But they're seeing themselves through the bent light that as it strikes the polished metal. Now, as it does that, they're peering through and they've got to break through two dimensions, as it was, because they're wanting to see the image of themselves. Is my hair straight? Are my sideburns straight? If I got anything on my face. So they're looking through that, but at the same time, they may not even realize how much the bent light is reflected back on them, but others are standing there looking at them, and they're thinking, my goodness, look at that. That light is so bright on their face. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sure, friend, that none of us will ever be able to see the fullness and the strength of the glory of God on our lives like other people will. Why? Because the way the light is bent and refracted and comes right back upon us. We can't see. Look at what God's done in our lives. And it becomes so common to us. And if we're not careful, it becomes so monotonous. And yet other people think, my, y'all are so blessed. Y'all are so blessed to be able to go to church like that. You're so blessed to be able to have that word. You're so blessed of what God's done for you. I wish I could live right. You know, just something like living right every day. And you take it for granted and say, well, it's just something I do. I'm a child of God. You realize there's millions of people out in this world that cannot live right from day to day. They cannot live right from week to week. They do not have the power of God in their life to help them live right. I'm talking about preachers standing in the pulpit. They cannot overcome lust. They cannot overcome adultery. They cannot overcome lying. And you do it every day of your life. How do you do it? Because of the reflected light of God. As we are beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus, it is changing us from justification to sanctification, from sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the life change will be the body change. Yeah. Hallelujah. Where's it coming from? Not from us. It's coming from Him. Yeah. Oh my. So we place ourselves within the light of the gospel, and the reflected light of God actually changes our own image. How's this going on, Brother Terry? Wedding night. Wedding night. When your sisters got married, did you look like a scarecrow that just come out of a cornfield? You come into your husband like that. Your hair sticking up this way, and you had cold fries, and the carrot sucking you out there, and you. And man alive, that scared me to death. Probably would your husband too. He'd still been running, wouldn't he? So what do? You want your hair in place, my. You pick out your certain dress you're going to get married in, and then the one you're going to leave the church in, and all that sort of thing. You think it through, and you want everything just right. Is that right? Why? Because it's a special night. Well, let me tell you something. That might have been special, but it's not near as special as this night is right here. This night, I'm talking about the wedding night of Christ and the bride. And we don't get to pick out our clothes. He does. Amen. We could never provide the clothes that we need. But he says, don't worry, sweetheart. Amen. I'm going to provide you with a white garment, shining, glistening white. I'm going to provide you with a crown. I'm going to provide you with the shoes of the gospel. I'm going to provide you with bodyguards that's going to be able to transport you to this world of darkness. I'm going to give you everything you need. This is a special night, sweetheart. And it ain't going to be one night. It will be as long as you need it. If you need it for 30 years, I'll take care of it. If you need it for 50 years, I'll take care of it. However long you need it, I'm going to give it to you, because I'm going to bring you home. Romans 8:29. For whom he did beep, he did beep to be beeped to the beepity beep beep. That sounds like a Volkswagen preacher, don't it? I'm not scared of the Word of God. I love it. For whom he did foreknow. That's what it said, Brother Tom. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he did also, oh my, he did also did predetermine their destiny. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at conform, fashion like unto, having the same form as another, similar or conformed to. It describes what is the essence in character and thus complete or durable, not merely a form or an outline. God don't want all of us to look like Hoffman's head of Christ. I hope I don't shake you too bad, but in reality, if you're born again tonight, you look more like Christ than Hoffman's head. Jesus, hallelujah, that's a good one. To be conformed to the image of his son. Why? That it would be the first model or the first perfect one, and more sons would look like that. What, on the outside? The long hair, the long robe. I'm glad we don't have to wear long robes and sandals. I hate sandals. I'm glad we can wear shoes. I like shoes with toes in them. I'm glad we don't have to grow out long hair and grow a beard and all that sort of thing. That's not the image God wanted, but it's the spiritual image. So we are conformed. Now, this is a spiritual confirmation, of course, to made into the image of our Lord Jesus. This is why it's so great right now, friends. While it's going on, the world is groping in darkness. Our world has never been in the shape she's in. You heard it yesterday, I'm sure, just like I did. That North Korea again launched another missile. My, the people tore all to pieces. Scared to death. I ain't scared, are you? My, can't get us. There ain't no way. Before them missiles ever come across, we'll be sailing out of here. Hallelujah. Saying, fare ye well, fare ye well. So we are conformed to his image of his temperance, his image of his life, the image of his ability to forgive, the image of his ability to love those who hated him, the image, oh my, that he bore upon the earth as a God-man. With meekness and patience and forgiveness. Come on now. It's a whole lot harder to be like that than grow long hair and have a beard. If that's so, the hippies has got it on us. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he's the first human being that after passing through death was raised to eternal life to remain in eternity. Well, say, Brother Donnie, in the Old Testament, there's people raised from the dead. They were, but they all died again. But he raised from the dead and will never die again. He was the first human being. Here he is, the first human nature that was glorified in the glorification of eternal life. It had never been done before. Humans were raised from the dead, had been for a long time, but never had this happened on the earth since Adam fell. That God raised a human being and glorified. Oh, hallelujah. Can't you see why he's worthy of our praise and honor? Oh, I realize there's some poor old ignoramuses around this message. Someone told me not long ago, they talked to somebody around this message, been around for years and years, and they said when they stood in their church and people worship Jesus, they didn't worship Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't worthy to be worshipped. Heathens, friends, you ought to thank God for the truth. You come here three times a week, you're able to sit down here, you don't have to put up your guard with a bunch of trash and a bunch of nonsense. Don't let it become common to you. You imagine people around our message saying such tommy rot? Why? Because a bunch of men who held up some image of some man in there instead of being like Jesus Christ. Remember, the prophet of God never brought us such trash. Oh my. Paul says, be not conformed to this world. Now actually there's two key words we want to look at here. That is world and age. The Greek word here for age is aeon, many of you brothers know that, meaning the present age and contrasting to the age that is to come. So we're not conformed to the world, but we are transformed. In other words, don't let this age conform you to be like them. Because it will be a constant pressure, oh my, to their scheme of thinking. So don't be conformed to this world. The word there is scheme, so it is their way of thinking. So the word rendered conform means to put on the form or the fashion or the appearance of another. Oh my. So it can be anything about another person that is contrary, that is devoid of the Spirit of God. It can be the way they talk. It can be the way they jest. It can be the words they say, the music they listen to. You don't have to actually even dress like them to be like them. It's your spirit that's like their spirit. Oh my. Well, praise the Lord. You parents know as well as I know that sometimes you can tell who your kids have been playing with, even if you haven't seen them, because the things they're saying, the way they're acting. Well, I'm going to preach. Y'all going to preach with me? Oh, hallelujah. We want to be like Christ, friends. Exactly right. Look, if you need an image, and we all do, we need somebody to image. Mirror. Well, if you do, pick out a good Holy Ghost filled saint. Notice this, the Jerusalem Bible says it this way: do not model yourselves on the behavior of the world around you. The Living Bible says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. The paraphrase of J.B. Phillips states, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. So the idea of these verses is basically rendering the same thought, that the world around us is going to try to make us conform to what they think we ought to be. Now, if they think this is right and this is right and this is right, then they want to make you. They're not going to leave you alone and say, well, we believe what we believe and you believe what you believe. They're not going to leave you that way. They want to change you to get you to believe what they believe. Then you'll go to hell with them. Well, glory. I didn't come from hell, and I ain't going back to hell. That's exactly right, but I've got to believe this word to stay out of hell. So instead of being conformed to the world, Christians are transformed or changed by the power of God. How's this done? By looking into the mirror of His Word. Now, somebody that plays golf, somebody that hunts, somebody that fishes, somebody that does this, that, the other, and they have all kinds of magazines according to whatever your particular like is. And I'm not saying any of that's wrong necessarily. All kinds of websites that cater to golfers or hunters or this or that. And that's why they sell new equipment all the time. Because here's this super string that mine just flings that arrow so much faster. And here's a faster bullet and a better scope. And here's a better iron that can help you stand there and knock that ball down through there and beat old what's his name. And there, oh my, here's a better recipe. Here's a better cooking pan. It's a miracle pan. You don't have to wash it no more. It puts in vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin B, vitamin everything into your cooking. It'll make you live 20 years longer. There's something wrong with your mind if you believe that. What does it do? The world, you hear it, they see it. Oh my, my. Remember Brother M talking about seeing a television program, and they put dish soap in the thing, and he saw it there, didn't even have to wash the plate, just dip it down in there and pull it out. And he said, I thought, I'm going to be a hero when I go home. So he got that stuff, Brother Eddie, and he put it down inside the water and put it up, put a real dirty plate on there, had eggs and bacon and whatever more, dipped it down in that water, pulled it back out. Guess what? The eggs and the bacon is right on there still. He said, I'll never believe nothing else I see on television. Now, you realize then, what is it? Satan has learned that we have this ability to be able to be influenced by things that are around us. And we're influenced by what our parents say, what our friends say, what religions say, what professors say, what teachers say, what your mentors say. And then we become that if we're not careful, though the outside may remain the same. But our spirit becomes changed gradually. And as it does, we're pulling away from the Word. Most people don't backslide overnight. They don't backslide from Sunday morning to Wednesday night. They're in the process of backsliding for a long time. Well, I hope you folks are going to preach a bit now. I come to have church. I'm not sure if y'all want to go to Dairy Queen or what. I come to have church tonight. So don't pattern after this age or the times that we live in, because what it does, it becomes between you and the reflected image of what's that. Now, if another person sticks their hand up and another one puts their hand and their idea, and every person that puts a hand between you and that mirror, it's going to knock part of them race, not only part of the race coming to the mirror, but part of the race bending back off the mirror and shining on your face. So here's this blessed mirror, you're standing there holding it. Oh my, it's so illuminated. But then this little thing comes in, and then something else comes in. Another person sticks their hand and their idea and their opinion in, and this little sin and that little sin. And before long, you can't see yourself. Nobody else can see Christ on you. You become miserable. You come to a spot. You're contrary. You're, oh my. You're not in a good mood like a child of God ought to be, and you wonder what in the world is going on. Where's the mirror on your face, brother? My goodness, do you folks still come to the house of God with a big smile on your face, the greatest thing, or do you come like it's a drudgery? Oh my, are you coming to be able to receive something from the presence of God, or have you got this person there? But I didn't like the songs they sang. I didn't like the temperature. It's too hot. The sound system was way too loud. The piano was too loud. The guitar was thumping too much for me. Too many cymbals. Don't you understand what's going on? Somebody's hand, somebody's opinion, somebody's hand, somebody's opinion. It's less light coming over your shoulder, which means less light on your face. And you're going to walk out there in the world of darkness, and you're going to feel such despondency and such a low, empty feeling in your life when you have the privilege of drinking from a well of living waters and letting the glory of God shine upon your face. But too many hands got in your way. Woo! Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, not the renewing of your soul now. Once your soul is changed, it's changed forever. It can never go back the other way. But your mind is constantly on an onslaught. Our mind, Brother Skip, needs to be renewed daily. We need this constant renewing in our mind. Praise the Lord. Notice, be ye transformed. And the Greek word is a very radical change from one nature and life to another. A very radical change. Well, praise God. It is the word metamorpho, which has given us our word metamorphosis. When a tadpole is changed into a frog, or when a grub becomes a butterfly, we speak of it as metamorphosis. Turn around and tell somebody, God bless you, brother and sister grub. Bless you, brother Grubhorn. Brother Rob Grub. Brother Larry Grub. Bless you, sister grubs. Sister tadpoles. Hey, I don't mean that in a non-complimentary way. I'm complimenting you saints tonight. I see something in you that's fixing to be changed. Amen. Now it's radical. It's radical. It means a total change from the inside out. Have you ever seen a tadpole go to tadpole transformation school? Have you ever seen a grub worm packing his little grub worm bag, inching down the road, going to Happy Valley High? And if you could stop on the side of the road and talk to him, hey, little worm, where are you going? I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to high school. And then I'm going to college, and I'm going to get me a degree. And as far as I go on by knowledge, I'll be transformed. No, he won't. He will only be transformed by the law of life, which is in his nature. That little grub worm couldn't even spell his own name if he had one. He couldn't even spell grub. He don't know how to spell. He don't know how to write. All he knows is whenever he was born and his mama laid him up there and all of his little brothers and sisters and his mama picked out the certain tree. And most of these butterflies, you know, they like a certain tree. Most grubs have transformed that way. A certain tree or a certain bush. You know that many of the butterflies out in the milkweed. So they pick certain areas where the milkweed is. Now this mother butterfly has never had a botany class. She never excelled in biology. She never knew anything about plantology or how to flyology. All she knows is there's a drive in her, and she's out there flying around through all these hundreds and thousands of species, and she comes right over to a milkweed, and she goes under the bottom damn sight, and she deposits her little eggs. Amen. And when she goes to making all this thing and giving birth to another generation, and when them little guys come out of there, they have one thing in mind: eat. Now some of y'all can relate to me. Some of you just woke up when I said eat. That's all they do is eat and 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 eat. I think I'll write a song called Eat. Eat and eat and eat and eat. That's what you're supposed to do as a child of God. Eat and eat and feed and eat until you eat yourself into a transformation. I ain't even going to try to mimic it tonight, because there ain't nobody I've ever seen preach it that can do like Brother Jewel. Oh, praise God. What is it? A radical change. So they eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and wind up being 600 times bigger than they were when they were born. Then all of a sudden something begins to move on them. And they begin to spin this self-destructive case. And they move into it. And their body begins to liquefy from within. Their body, Brother Jerry, begins to liquefy into a black gooey something that make you sick if you saw it. The resemblance of kidneys, of stomach, of intestines is totally gone. And it starts changing itself from within. And it liquefies and changes. And once it reaches the stage of corruption, something changes. Now it starts forming a new digestive tract. It starts making wings, which it never had in its first life. Glory to God. It starts making antennae. Its eyes change to where it can have 3D vision. Science have just caught up on that, you know. You have to wear glasses and all that sort of thing to see 3D. Butterflies been doing it for a long time. They have a different digestive tract. Their blood pressure's different. Their heart is different. Every internal organ is different than in their first life. Hallelujah. And when every organ is formed on these long, slender legs and their antennae, and they've now reached that thing and they go, and they go to busting out. And they come out looking around with them 3D vision eyes. The wings still, they can't fly, so they have to give them a little while to be transformed. A little small pump type thing on the inside of their body, their antennae are all rolled up, and they go to blowing their antennae out. Can you imagine Paul using that word for you? And the wings go to spreading. Here they come.
and you look at it and say, look at that butterfly. It is so beautiful. And people travel the globe. Butterfly watchers. They go to the Andes. They go to the Congo. They go all over the world just to watch them. That's a real Christian. Better believe people's got their glasses on you. Could that butterfly do within itself? There's no way. It could not transform itself. It could not change itself. Only by the law of God's nature within it. It's in its DNA. You imagine the monarch butterfly, sometimes second and third generation, as they fly down to Mexico, they disappeared for years. Before scientists ever even knew where they were. It wasn't even until the 80s till they found out. Some peasants down there in Mexico's in the mountain found out where all the millions and millions of monarchs fly. And they fly right over the Gulf of Mexico. They don't all get together on a 747 or a Boeing 737 and all of them get a little ticket, but they fly all those miles across the ocean. Amen. Who directs them? Many of them in that generation have never even been there before. They don't know where New Mexico is from Old Mexico or anything else. All they've known is Wisconsin and Missouri and Tennessee, that all of a sudden something begins to drive them and they take off. Where am I going? I don't know, but I'm following my leader. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about a goose. I'm not talking about an eagle with 3 foot wings. I'm talking about a butterfly about that wide. And they fly and they fly and they fly and they fly. Don't you tell me how hard it is to be a Christian. Don't you tell me I can't do it. If a little bitty butterfly can fly to Mexico by the command of God, don't tell me you can't live a godly life by the power of God in your nature. I don't believe it. I simply don't believe it. If you're born again, it is an endowed nature of God. Just them. It's the law of life in their nature. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Some of you think I'm nuts anyway. You think I've lost my mind. The prophet of God says, the power of God that will raise you up is in you right now. As a matter of fact, he said, you'll call your own body from the dust of the earth. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Nous is the Greek pronunciation of it. Comprising alike the faculties of perceiving and understanding and those of feeling, judging, determining, the power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially. Oh my. Judging, the power to judge. Brother, sister, if we ever needed it, we need that now. The world wants to control you by controlling your mind. But God wants to transform your mind, not control it. The world wants to change your mind. Now just change your mind in the way you do things. So politics, social media, the wrong people, all that brings pressure to try to get us to conform and change to the world. This is why folks have left the message. This is why they left the message in the days of Paul, in the days of Noah, because somebody changed their mind. It only got to their mind, never dropped in their heart. Somebody else come and changed their mind, and when they did, then they go this way. Well, they wouldn't have grubbed in the first place. They might have been grubbed out with the grubs, but there's probably a polecat or something else. But anyway, they were not a grub, because if there's a grub that had that law in them, to change them into a beautiful butterfly. Amen. So if the world controls your thinking, you are a conformer. If God changes your thinking, you are a transformer.
Not only have you been transformed, but you are a transformer yourself. And we are living in a world that is hostile to God and His truth. Let me read a couple of scriptures and we'll close. Romans chapter 8 verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now both of them worked together, of course, and were in sin. And he said, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not others as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Notice this, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What? That's the world we're dealing with. The world we're dealing with says you don't have to be honest. You don't have to be people of integrity and people of character. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, the butterfly. Amen. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's stand together. Praise be to God. Oh, my friends, look at your wedding night. Everywhere you look, you're assaulted. You can't drive from here to Walmart without seeing billboards, either with cigarettes or some half-dressed woman. You can't even check out at Walmart with having all kinds of magazines to your left and to your right that has all kinds of trash and nonsense on it. Everywhere we look. You can't even go to Lowe's to buy a two before without hearing rock and roll. You can't go to Bed Bath & Beyond to buy a wash rag without rock and roll going. Have you noticed it just like I have? And it seems like everywhere you go anymore, it's there. What's it doing? Getting them ready for the tribulation period. Everywhere we look, then you go to your job. My, unless you're able to work with Christians and it's constantly there, everywhere you are. And then sometimes come into the house of God. It's bad enough in the world, but women dressing so bad, people so carnal, that you have to deal with some of the same stuff in church. Preach, Brother Donnie. What is it? Trying to change your mind. Change your view. Look, friends, in our lifetime, how many things have changed. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. People would have never thought of doing things that they're doing today. But little by little, by movies, by music, by books, by magazines, by articles, little by little, they change them. They change them. And then they're thinking, it says, that ain't wrong no more, is it really? All you got to do is read the polls. Read the polls about marriage. Read the polls about Christianity. Read the polls about much of this stuff and see in our generation, Brother Amos, what's went with it. Where's it gone? Why? Conforming their minds. And right in the middle of this darkness, you are setting in your soul with the King. And the King brought this mirror. Generally, it's the woman that packs the mirror. But in this situation, the King backs it. And He turns it around to you. And He wants the personification of His own glory to be able to hit that mirror. And He wants you to look into the mirror at the same time that the glory is shining. So the mirror can be able to bend the light and reflect it upon you. And then when He looks across the mirror, He looks at you and says,
my love, my dove, my undefiled. You have calamus and cinnamon. And you're thinking, really? I didn't know I had all that stuff. Really? Where'd that come from? The mirror. Don't you see, friends? He's letting it shine right upon your face. And what he's seeing is himself in a reflected light. No wonder he can so rejoice. Truly, if there's anything good seen out of me, he'll have to have a spell, because it sure didn't come from me. Let me just be honest and say, if there's anything good seen out of all you all, I know most of you pretty good. And if there's any good and holy and righteous and eternal value seen out of most of us, it'll have to be borrowed glory, because it sure didn't come from us. But he ain't lying. He ain't stretching the truth. He's not saying something he don't see. He's saying what he sees. It's on your face. Your life. Praise God. Let us be glad and rejoice and make merry. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife has made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen. Clean and white. The linen which came from the flax grown on the river Nile in the land of Egypt. Basurius. It produced such brilliant white linen that a pound of linen was equal to a pound of gold. This is the word that John uses when he says the bride is clothed in this kind of linen. So brilliant and so white. Praise God. Don't you love him tonight, saints? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we bow our heads in your presence, we ask you tonight, Lord, that you would help us. No doubt I'm speaking, Father, to people in different degrees of their walk with you. Visible and invisible as well. Maybe some that need a renewing, some that need a refreshing, some that's never even given their heart to you. Others, Lord, that are truly born again, but they need a renewing in their mind. Not so much that they think about filthy, dirty things like that all the time, but it's just the things of life. Their kids, their grandkids, the this, that, the other, their mind is just so filled with so many natural things. They're so caught up with the schedule of life. They have to be here on Monday morning, here Monday evening, and here Monday night, and here Tuesday, and they've got a birthday party to go to, and then they've got a graduation party to go to, and this and that and the other. And before they know it, the week is gone. They haven't even prayed, read their Bible. Lord Jesus, all those are hands and views that come in to block the view from the mirror. Then we look at ourselves and we think, Lord, I just don't feel right, Lord. I just don't feel like I need to feel. Help us tonight, Jesus. I don't think there's a one of us in this building that couldn't say that there's room for us to move up. I say that, Lord. Let it begin with me. Lord Jesus, help me, I pray. Help each of us, Father. We know that there's not only stages of glory from Luther to Wesley to Pentecost, but there's stages in this message. Our walk is stages of spiritual growth. We know, Lord, in this chapter, after this one here, that just after they've got married, they haven't been married very long at all, until he has to go seeking her and asking her to come back because of a complacency and a coldness that struck her heart. What a perfect reflection of the humanity that's still left. And those of us that are truly born again after being married to Christ the Word, the human part is still there. It'll pull on us every day of our life. We believe what your prophet taught, Father, that you'll have a carnal, sticky nature as long as you live, and it's going to bother you. I realize there's some that think they're above that, but in reality, we know better. But we are grateful that it does bother us. Because before we got saved, it didn't bother us at all. May you be able to go down these aisles, across these pews, across this platform, upstairs, Lord, in the nurseries, in the back in the nurseries, in the sound booths on this main level, and the ones upstairs, the saints out in Georgia, Newfoundland, China, Cyprus, South Africa, wherever they are in the different parts of the world. May the Spirit of God, I pray, deal with their hearts, Lord Jesus. We love you so much. We want to be able to reflect your glory. It's not ours. We want to be able to keep the mirror clean, keep hands out of the way, ideas out of the way, so the light from your great face can shine upon the mirror. And as we look into that, it shines back and hits us. And the more we look, the more we're changed. The longer we look and look into that image, the more we begin to let things go. But if we're constantly looking at other people, looking at other ministers, looking at ourselves, how great we are, our value, this, we'll never change from who we are. Because the image we see, we love. We look at our flesh and we look at that image and we love that image. We will never want that image to change. But if we see its shortcomings, its failures, then we will want that image to be changed weekly, weekly. Letting this go and that go, that the glory of God can shine through us. We love you tonight, Father. Praise God. Would you just raise your hand to the Lord tonight if you just like for him to know you want his help. That's all. You want his help tonight. With wherever you are right now. Maybe you're in a great mountaintop in your walk with God. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you in your mountaintop. I hate to bring sad news. Enjoy it while you can, because you won't stay there long. Not in this day. Valleys come often enough. But may God give you the joy you need while you're in that mountain, so you can be able to have it when you're in the valley again. If you've got health, praise God for it. But Satan will try to attack you with sickness. We know that. Wherever you are tonight, may God be able to minister to you and give you the strength, the courage, the faith, whatever you need. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we magnify your holy name tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Father, it's so sad what I said a while ago with some of these poor people around the message. Don't even think you're worthy of worship no more. Because you're like a little boy up in heaven. The prophet destroyed that old Trinitarian doctrine. Now it resurfaces again under another name. Too, Lord. Still right from the pits of hell. That's where it comes from. Lord Jesus, people don't want to worship you. That's up to them. My Bible tells me the angels of God worship you. So if they do, I figure I better. Hallelujah. I worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Because you're not some little second command in heaven. You are the command in heaven. You are the mighty God, the everlasting Father. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we know that thing is rampant going through the message. We know what it is. It's preachers being anointed with demons right out of hell, trying to get people's minds changed and conform them. Prophet Toast said, the devil told you there's three gods so he can make a heathen out of you. Well, if the devil told people there's three gods to make a heathen, telling them there's two makes a heathen out of them as well. We don't worship three and we don't worship two. We worship one tonight. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We're not ashamed of that blessed name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was by that name we were saved. In that glorious name we were baptized. In that name that we repented. In that name that we are married. Praise God. Through and by that name we will be transformed. Not another name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, but at the name of Jesus Christ. To us, it is the greatest name, hallelujah, in heaven and in earth. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. We refuse to be conformed to to the world and its habits and its behavior. We want to be transformed. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of your kingdom, there is no end. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Will somebody help me worship him? Will somebody help me love him tonight? He's worthy, friends. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our praise. Does his name still have value in your heart? Do you love to worship him and love to tell him what all he means to you? Oh my, it was him that redeemed you. It was him that called you out of the mess you were in. Filled you with the Holy Ghost. Helped you to see, amen, that you was ordained to be a son and daughter of God. It's going to be his face we're going to see. I realize so many of the folks get so caught up in doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. I've said it again. I'll say it over and over again. A doctrine never died for you. It was a person. A doctrine never raised from the dead. A doctrine isn't coming back for you. It is a person. A doctrine ain't going to sit on the throne of God and we fall down and worship him. It is a person, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, living God, mighty God, mighty God. We worship you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We give you praise tonight, Father. Amen. We worship you, Lord, with all of our hearts, all of our might. Father, we don't want to wait till we get new bodies and then we move to heaven to start worshiping you. We want to worship you right now while we're in time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We adore your name, for you are worthy. How many healings have you done among us? How many miracles have you done? How many life-changing things have you done? We want to praise you tonight, Father. You said if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. I don't want no Tennessee rock crying out in my place. I don't want no Arkansas stone hardened in my place, Lord God. I want my voice to ring in time plumb through eternity. Your praise, your adoration, your goodness, and your mercy. Thank you, blessed God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you tonight, Lord. We praise you tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord. Amen. We worship you. Sing something, Mary, whatever's on your heart. Can we sing just a little bit to him before we go? Aren't you glad you know him tonight? Aren't you glad he knows you? Aren't you glad he knows your name? He called you. Praise God, he engraved it in the palms of his hands. Tell me what devil can ever take it off. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We love you tonight, Father. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes. Amen.
Beautiful name. Nothing compares to this.
Thank you, Lord.
What a beautiful name it is. The name of
Jesus.
What a beautiful name.
Just sing it now, just before we go.
What a beautiful name it is. The greater. What could
Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you.
Amen.
The veil tore before you.
Listen now.
You silenced the bolts of sin and grave.
And the grave.
The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life.
What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You have no rival.
You have no equal.
Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory.
Yours is the glory, Lord.
Yours is the name above all names. What a beautiful name.
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful name. Fall down.
Glory.
We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus.
Sing it, children. Sing it to him.
Greatness
of his mercy.
Mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus.
What are we going to say?
Holy, 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 we cry, holy, holy, holy,
holy, let the blind cry.
Holy, holy, holy,
yes. Amen. Let's sing it again. We fall down with all of our hearts.
fall down, we lay our crown. Feet of Jesus, greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God Jesus is. Hallelujah. I remember the days of my darkness before I walked in the light that was bright enough to be able to clear up my understanding of the Godhead. I would pray to a Father in heaven, and I didn't want to make the Son mad, so I would pray to the Son. And I didn't want to make the Holy Ghost mad, so I'd pray to the Holy Ghost. And then I'd go back through and try to keep it all in order. And then I'd get confused. Had I talked to the Father more than I'd talked to the Son, or the Holy Ghost more than I'd... Some of y'all have not been there, have you? Some of y'all don't know what that's like. But tonight I can stand here with the light shining on my face. And I thank God. I thank God. They broke the water whenever they baptized me as a 12-year-old boy, freezing water, and baptized me in titles. I did it in ignorance. I didn't know no better. But the light's shining on me tonight. Not only am I baptized in the name of Jesus, I'm called by that name. Miss Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together. What a mighty God Jesus is. Let's just sing it a little before we go. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, can we sing it again? Aren't you glad you can sing that by revelation? Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Hallelujah! What a mighty God Jesus is. Glory! Oh, heaven and earth adore Him.
What a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is.
What a mighty God. The Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, we thank you for letting us pull up under your table, as it were. Lord, my mind goes back tonight to Jonathan's poor crippled son. Almost all of Saul's seed had been destroyed, but David began to inquire if there was any left. And he found that this young man had fallen while a woman was carrying him, and he'd become crippled. He wasn't able to fight. He'd never make a noble soldier. He'd never be able to give his life for David. But yet David saw in him Jonathan's eyes. So he calls him to come to his table. And he said at the king's table. How many ever times a day? Three times. How many ever times they ate? He ate the king's food. I imagine David would speak to him, smile at him, look over at him, and as he saw in his face, the face of Jonathan. Praise God. We have sat here tonight, Lord Jesus, in your great presence. Almighty, omnipotent, holy, present God, if it was not for you seeing in us the face of the mediator, the Lord Jesus, would all be destroyed. But we've sat at your table tonight. Maybe we had things wrong in our life that wasn't right. But you looked at us and you saw Jesus' eyes and ours. And you offered us mercy and forgiveness and pardon. Hallelujah. We have sat at your table. We have eaten the king's delicacies. We thank you tonight, Father. Bring us back in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Lord. But we know this is not just a one-time thing. This is not once every now and then. We're invited week after week, service after service, to sit at the table of the King himself. As the King anoints his ministers to prepare the delicacies of his word, fixed exactly the way we need them. We thank you for it, Lord. Go with us now. Keep us by your grace. Bring us back at the appointed time, we pray. In that lovely, wonderful, all-sufficient name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Won't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them, it's been good to be in church. All right, can we sing the song, What a Lovely Name? The name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's all right. Move out of your seat a little bit. Shake hands with them people. You're going to spend eternity with them. Amen. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely. Saints proclaim, amen. What a lovely name. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Oh, a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far.